Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. We hope you folks had a Merry Christmas and also a Happy New Year. The show is going to happen just after the New Year. And again, we're going to look back for the past year and look forward to the next year. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Very good. So that now, Alan, you say challenge us. So yeah. Each. Go ahead.
I just thought it might be a good idea for all of us to kind of reflect back on 2025 and talk about incidents or issues or things that were accomplished. I think we're very lucky we had President Trump inaugurated, and I think it's been a great year in a lot of ways. And I think that sometimes the media, the fake media, they downplay all the good things that have happened, and of course they want to just focus on the negative. So maybe we could start with some of the positive things. Do you want me to start?
Yes.
Sure, go for it.
All right, we're all agreed, I guess. All right, one of the things, just looking at it from an international standpoint, and you know, we could classify these by economic or international, I think one of the most significant things was Trump's attack on the nuclear capability of Iran.
I do
Iran too. Is the biggest driver of terrorism in the world. As long as that regime is in power, will never be any peace in the Middle East. And the second thing is, you know, giving them the authority to have, or letting them have the authority to have an atomic weapon would quadruple, if not more, the impact they could have. So that's, to me, the biggest issue from an international standpoint.
The other part of that, too, is that they are working to recreate their nuclear program again, and a second strike may be necessary at some point in the near future.
I read this morning that the Iranians are in the streets protesting because the currency value is falling.
Yes, they are.
And also, Tehran is essentially out of water. It's not a civilized place to live because there is no water just to sustain everyday life.
So I guess the hope is that the people of Iran, many of which I assume don't agree with the extremist views of their leaders, will actually rise up and overthrow the regime. I mean, it needs to be done. I mean, I don't know how much suffering these people can take before they do it. Sounds like this may be starting, like you said, Pat.
They have said for a while now that they wanted to bring back the son of the Shah. Now, the Shah was no angel. You know, we need to understand that. But it is possible that after everything that has happened, the son of the Shah might bring them back to a more rational country.
It sounds like a paucity of imagination to me. They can't imagine any other kind of government than the one they used to have.
Now, wait a minute.
Where they drove him out, and now they want to try it again?
Now, Mary, you opened that rabbit hole. I'm going to take us down another rabbit hole. Now, again, we had former President Biden. Did you say there was a chance somebody else named Biden might step in to try to run for president?
What? Hunter.
What? Oh.
Have you been paying attention to what he's been saying lately?
He's insane.
Well, he is.
We agree.
Yeah, but the answer is no.
Yeah,
So are the Democrats, so I don't see the problem. But he has gone on record now criticizing the Afghan withdrawal, criticizing the open borders, pretty much criticizing his father's 4 years, and trying to sound like a rational human being. Now, I don't know if anybody's buying it or not.
I'd say he's on drugs, because that wouldn't be what he would normally say.
Well, I don't know if anybody's buying this or not, but that's what I believe he's trying to get back into the political arena in some kind of office because his money has dried up.
But he can't come back. He wasn't there to start with.
That's
he
right.
was just a tag along with the family.
Right.
So he's starting from scratch, and scratch below scratch, I'd say.
Yeah. I don't think anybody will take him seriously.
Okay. What else?
Why do they keep putting him on interviews on the radio and in print?
Because he's a train wreck.
Because his name's Biden.
And people like to watch train wrecks.
People like to watch train wrecks.
I'll go next. One of the concepts that I love the most that come up was Doge. Now, the impact and the execution and all, but the fact that they are working and have opened up the idea of Department of government efficiency is exciting to me, and I hope that we are able to keep some traction in that area. And then I had something else. Go ahead.
Well, along those lines, Cash Patel just closed down the J. Edgar Hoover building, and rather than build this shrine to the FBI that was going to have rooftop gardens and everything else.
For $5 billion.
Yeah, they're refurbishing the Ronald Reagan building and shoving the FBI in there and moving a lot of them out of Washington. So that's not specifically Doge, but it has saved the taxpayers considerable money.
Which you hopefully this is infectious.
Yes.
Where people will be thinking in those terms instead of like it's just bloat. The other one is, I like the fact that we've at least shown we're willing to use tactics that the left use all the time by trying to move these seats, the number of seats in
Texas.
Are
you talking about redistricting?
Yeah, redistricting and moving the number of seats in the House, because normally we'd say, well, we're above that. Well, you can't win when you're above everything. You use some of the tactics that's been effective for them, and we'll see how it works. But I don't see they can gain much ground by promoting we're going to do this more because they've already expanded theirs.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Supreme Court does. Redistricting is on their spring term schedule, and the case that brought it up is the one where they redistrict Texas, right? Mm-hmm. Where they were going for Republicans instead of race. And all the redistricting before has been race-based to create black districts, to create Hispanic districts. And I'm hoping the Supreme Court's going to say, those are out. Those are civil rights violations. You can't manhandle a district so that it's for black people.
Right.
Not unless you're manhandling one for white people.
They did do that in North Carolina with majority-minority districts forever. We had a lot of majority-minority districts, especially in the, like up around Gates County and up the northeast part of the state.
Well, it's racist.
Well, yeah, there was a reason that happened. I can't tell you what it was. I used to know. But there was a reason we had to have a certain number of majority-minority districts in North Carolina. It was a punishment of some sort for something.
Yeah, see, that's racist.
It's the tail end of affirmative action. Yeah.
And I hope the Supreme Court does something that will affect the states like Massachusetts and the states up in the Northeast that have zero, and California, that have zero Republican seats, because those people are disenfranchised.
Yeah,
that's not fair.
Yeah, our risk of pursuing this was very limited because we were so far behind the curve that they have so unbalanced states. So I agree. I hope that, hey, if they look at it on a whole new approach, we have to come out better.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, part of that, too, I mean, you talk about redistricting, and you mentioned Massachusetts. Massachusetts can redistrict 10 times from Sunday, but they're already totally Democrat, and the state is 40% Republican, and as you said, those Republicans are not represented.
No, they're disenfranchised.
When we lived in Massachusetts, our district looked, our representative district looked like a seahorse because we were in a Republican area and they wanted to combine us with cities to, and I think we might have even had Worcester in our district. I don't even remember, but we got New Bedford or Fall River just to balance out the Republican areas.
You mean cancel out?
Yes.
Yes.
And there's several, there's a few other states at least, I don't know about several,
right.
Have almost that bad of a balance.
Right. And that's not fair.
And every time that Massachusetts has elected a Republican government, they're really more Democrat than they are Republican.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that.
Kim, you wanted to add something?
Well, I guess I'm going a different line because you just said what I was going to say. But with what has impacted me the most this year, I would say would be the death of Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
I think just morally, religiously, everything I could think of, I couldn't understand why somebody I never knew or met affected me so profoundly. I cried for days, and I never even met the man. But it's what he stood for. It was the hope of the future, of the young people, of the Turning Point USA, of the Christianity, of the moral fortitude of family values that we're so lacking. So I think his death had the biggest impact on me last year. And as far as what I think is happening that is good, to go with what Alan suggested, I like the bombing of the narco terrorists. Yeah. You know, we all know someone who has died from a fentanyl overdose.
Yes.
All of us sitting at this table do.
You know, Kim, along with the Charlie Kirk, when he would go to the campuses or whatever else and talk to somebody that was totally opposite, he just asked them, defend your position. Please tell me why you believe that.
He never
and he's
lost
trying to
his
bring,
temper.
Trying to bring back critical thinking and civil discourse.
Never lost his temper, never called anybody a name.
Well, and the good news is...
They called him names.
Right.
The good news is everything that I've seen, and I haven't stayed real close to it, they've gained momentum since that happened in terms of these events.
Turning Point
USA. These events are bigger than they've ever been, and they're bringing on big players like Vance and other folks that are willing to show support to help them keep that momentum.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it, even though it's unfortunate that it had
happened. Well, I don't understand how the security was that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy just climbed up on a roof. Wasn't anybody paying attention?
Well, we could say the same thing with the Trump attempted assassination.
Yes.
So I'm sorry. I do get into the conspiracy theory things, but I can't help but think some of this is wink, wink, okayed.
One of the slight differences with the Trump thing, again, we did have government employees supposedly setting up a security perimeter with the Turning Point. That's all private.
Right. Well, the thing about the Trump thing was the fact that they had spotted this guy before. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they didn't know he was on the roof. I mean, why was he on the roof? What was, you know?
Okay, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Happy New Year.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Where are we going? Are we going to continue with the narco terrorists?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's talk about them.
Let's go.
My concern is that Trump professes to be against endless wars, and yet we're quite clearly the aggressor against Venezuela. And when I heard that we had hit the dock, you know, now we're on the mainland. We're not just patrolling the seas and killing the drug boats. I have to say, even though I support the drug boats and taking the oil tankers, I support both of those, but I'm a little concerned when we start bombing the mainland.
And I think it's a legitimate concern, Pat, and I have similar concerns. However, I think that if you look at the role Venezuela has been playing, and they are a keystone of China and Russia infiltrating the Western Hemisphere. And the things that they've been doing, the oil tankers, we captured two oil tankers, maybe three now.
And working on the third one.
And that oil was going to Cuba and some of these other places to be used to fund terrorism and so on. And I think there's a strong message he's saying, give it to the rest of the world. You're not going to come in our backyard and start infiltrating and threatening us. And, you know, these people who say, well, Venezuela was just importing cocaine and fentanyl is what actually kills the people. The truth of the matter is most cocaine that's sold on the streets they put fentanyl in it anyway to make it more effective, stronger, and so on. So I don't know. I'd like to see Maduro go. I'd like to see Venezuela go back to being a democratic country. And I like China and Russia to leave the Western Hemisphere.
There's another aspect of the seizing of the oil tankers. There was a ruling by the World Bank after Venezuela in 2007 seize the U.S. oil assets. And the ruling was $8.7 billion to ConocoPhillips because of the stuff that was seized. And the Venezuela appealed the ruling, and their appeal was turned down. So
did they pay the $8.7 billion to Conoco?
No.
Well, of course not.
Well, Venezuela didn't, and I'm not convinced the government is going to, but that's what they're using part of the justification for taking the tankers, is that this was American property that Chavez stole when he was in power.
Well, that's what socialists do.
Yeah, and the World Bank talked about $8.7 billion worth of owed to America.
I wanted to chip in on the dock. I don't know by saying dock if we're talking about a commercial port or if we're talking about a dock, mm-hmm. You know, so I don't
know.
A port. So if this isn't a commercial port, it's got a lot bigger ramifications than if it's just a dock. But my feeling is if it is known that they're loading the drugs there, of course the government has to know what's going on at their port, because if our CIA knows, or FBI, or whoever it is, surely they know. So I think this is more of a warning shot across the bow. But additionally, when I look at war and endless wars, I'm thinking more in terms of boots on the ground and people shooting at each other. So I don't quite look at it exactly the same way. I think it's pushing that slippery slope where you go onto their shore. But I don't see it as any more terrorist action on our part as them shipping in the fentanyl to our people. That's terrorism in my view.
Well, the drug trade is part of government policy in Venezuela. The Tren de Agua is a transnational drug cartel, right, that operates with the support and in accordance with the government of Venezuela.
With substations all through the United States.
Yeah, and that Maduro purposely sent Tren de Agua to the United States.
Well, that kind of makes my case. Then we should blow them up.
Well, you know, we blew up something in Nigeria, too, on, Christmas Day?
That was also needed.
You know, so here we are in the U.S. and we're just popping off missiles, you know.
Response to them killing three Americans, right?
No, that was because they've been killing Christians in Nigeria for years. They've been and there's been thousands of Christians being killed and martyred, and this has been going on. And the thing, what I like about Trump's strategy is he looks at a problem, instead of just ignoring it and pretend it doesn't exist, like the Biden administration does, he takes action. Now, he's not going to send troops to Nigeria, but he's going to show them that if you're doing something that is killing people, and particularly the Islamists attacking Christians, he's going to react to it, just like he reacted to Iran. You're not going to have a nuclear weapon. Now he's reacting to Venezuela. And he's using these, what I call strategic strikes, which will hopefully have some impact. And it may not change the regimes in those places, but it's going to slow down what they're doing or stop what they're doing.
Agreed.
That's what I'm in favor of.
He just reminded them that killing Christians was a bad idea.
It's consequences for misbehavior.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, if we want everybody in the world to behave, there's got to be teeth in it.
You know, one of the differences that I think that we see in going back for many administrations is we always wanted to export democracy to those countries. Now we're a republic, but we were working our darndest to promote democracy. Whereas sometimes now we're just saying, you're going to stop doing what you're doing. I don't give a darn what kind of government you have, but you will stop attacking.
Yeah, I think that's Trump's strategy.
He just reminded them that they were misbehaving.
Well, what about the argument that we don't intend to be the world's policeman?
Yeah. I think that's not a good argument.
We got stuck with that whether we wanted it or not.
That sounds like a great argument. If you don't mind, you're 100,000 of your people being killed by these bringing drugs in, and you sit back and do nothing. I mean, they said that we're not going to the world's police force, but there has to be a limit in which you've got to control what's going on in the world. Otherwise, you're going to be a victim of the evil that's being perpetrated.
What happens when somebody sends a missile our way?
We don't let them have it. We don't let Iran have a missile. That's the whole
thing. I'm not talking about Iran. I'm talking about any other country in the world.
Well,
but
if they decide we're doing something they don't like.
Well,
I mean, that's always possible.
The problem with Venezuela is their ties with Russia, right, Pat?
And China.
Increasingly so.
So if we don't do anything about Venezuela, we're making ourselves more at risk of a retaliatory state from Russia or China.
Well, I agree. I just have a visceral reaction to, oh, now we're going to the mainland. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to bomb the whole place down and
Or Pat, I think to your argument, are American citizens safe to go anywhere else in the world? That's, you know, if we're attacking so many different places, do we have any safe passage?
And one of the things to consider about Venezuela, in recent years, they have been one of South America's headquarters for Hezbollah and Iranian activity and Cuban activity. So they're not a positive force in the hemisphere.
Yeah, and I understand under the Monroe Doctrine, it's time to cut their throat. But like I said, I just...
Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking.
You know, because how about Colombia? They're a drug exporter. We're going to attack them next?
If they deserve it, yes. Why not? I mean, if they're killing our citizens, and we just, what are we going to do? Sit back and watch our youth die because these countries can make money off it? I mean, that's one way. It's got to be stopped. And if it means striking the people that are doing this and these drug boats, these are clearly people bringing drugs to our country.
Uh-huh.
I think we have a right to defend ourselves.
Yeah,
when you lose 100,000, we've lost more men to fentanyl than we did in the Korean War and the Vietnam War together.
Well, the point is that the drug cartels will say as soon as the market in America goes away.
Right.
That'll never happen.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but the point is, what are you going to do? Just sit back and let it happen? You stop it by
there's more than one way than sending a missile their way.
Well, what's the other way? What have we tried that's worked? Nothing else. Biden administration didn't do anything. we had all these people coming in, and a lot of them were bringing drugs. They had knapsacks with drugs on their back, bringing all. It's harder for them.
Well, we've
I understand the amount of drugs in the country has dropped over 90% in the last year. Now, the price of those drugs are remaining. I'm not saying we've eliminated them, but you have to do something.
Well, I'm going to tag on with Pat what she was saying about the demand for the drugs. We have to also consider the big pharmaceuticals' role in drug addiction. How many times have drugs been prescribed legally to the point that someone is hooked on them, and then they're not able to get them anymore? That's when they go to the undermarket, the black market. We know people who I have people in my life. Who have had pain pills legally and gotten addicted, and then you go where you got to go. So
yeah, but here's the thing: we've tried that. That it's much more difficult now for an older person, many of which have various surgeries, to get pain medication.
Correct.
Why? Because people are afraid, well, you're going to get addicted to it. How many people in their 70s or 80s who had surgery, you have to worry about them becoming addicted? So what we're doing is we're keeping people from having effective pain medication when they need it. And we're trying to use that as a way of controlling what's happening in the youth. It's totally absurd, in my opinion.
It's a bigger problem than just stopping one place. You've got to change the culture, the people wanting it, demanding it. You've got to do whatever the mental health capacity things are. Alan, that's your expertise area.
Well, I agree that the desire for drugs in the country needs to be addressed. I 100% support that. Mm. And there needs to be more, in my opinion, more strict punishment for distribution.
Amen.
In this country, you catch these people that are distributing drugs, the penalty ought to be increased and more severe, not less, which is then the Democrats are letting these people out.
Yeah. The only chance you have, I believe, with all this discussion after hearing it, is the distribution is the key. There's users. It's like whack-a-mole with users. Yeah. But the distributors, if you really crush the distribution, it'll have an impact.
Yeah. When you get folks back to work, too, and they don't have as much, quote, recreational time. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening. Mary, you're going to take us somewhere else.
I think one of the most important stories this year was the rise of anti-Semitism and the growth of Islam in our government. And I want to point to Representative Republican candidate running in North Carolina, North Carolina's 22nd State Senate District. So this is our state legislature, Senate.
Be Durham.
And that's in Durham, right?
And her name is, what is her name?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But she's got a hijab on, right?
She's wearing a hijab. She was registered as a Democrat, but now she has become a Republican and is running as a Republican in a full hijab. And I don't know. I'm not trying to be prejudiced here. But I think if you're not willing to comply with the social constructs of the country that you live in, and those social constructs do not include wearing a hijab, that you shouldn't be running for office.
So does her driver's license picture have a hijab?
That's a very good question.
Well, that would be against the law.
Well, I'm thinking that she doesn't have a prayer of winning as a Republican in Durham County, so I'm not going to spend any of my time thinking about her.
Well, just the fact that she's running because she was the only candidate running in a primary tells us that as people who are Republicans need to be a little better about making sure they have candidates in races.
I think this goes back to what Pat was saying a little bit ago about the redistricting. I think when the Democrats were in power and they redistricted the area, it's a strong blue hold. It's been a strong blue hold because of population and density there. You know, it's going to be a Democrat person there, so I don't know why she even bothered to try to go in as a Republican because the Democrats have the stronghold.
Here we are with 120 House seats. Apparently 25 of them had no Republican candidates file.
No
Republican candidates
so
file.
State positions.
That's awful.
State out of 120.
But
yeah. But again, that's again when you look.
That's
at,
the way we're district.
The way the districting is.
But the other part of that is, we've seen Mandami win in New York, who is when you look at his old tweets, many of which have been scrubbed, is anti-Semitic.
Right.
We had the pro-Palestinian demonstrations on our colleges. I really think we are reaching a level of anti-Semitism in America that we've not hit before. One of my friends is moving to Israel because, not because of that, he has family there and he has a lot of reasons. But I think we're coming into a problem in this country with anti-Semitism. I think we're seeing the roots of it now, and I think it's going to get worse.
And I agree with you 100%, Mary, that it's getting a lot worse. However, I don't think the Islamic threat is just towards the Jews. I believe the Islamic threat is against Western civilization.
Yes.
And I think that if you see what's happening with these enclaves, look what's happened up in Dearborn, Michigan,
Texas,
some of these other places.
Minneapolis,
these Muslims,
Ohio.
These Islamists come over and they dominate a certain region. And then they begin to practice their culture in our country. That, I think, needs to be stopped. Look what's happening in Europe. Europe is losing its identity.
Yes.
Because they are being taken over by another culture. We need to stop that. Now, I'm not against Muslims. I'm against any Muslim coming to this country who does not forswear Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sharia law extends not just to your religious practice, it goes to the secular also, and the way that you deal with secular issues and so on. If they want to practice Sharia law, they should stay where they were. And the thing is, that's what we should do. We should start put in a requirement, and I think this been a couple of bills introduced that would require that. If these people come in, they should be required to swear allegiance to this country and non-allegiance to Sharia law, and you can't have it both ways. It's got to be one or the other.
I've been reading the obituaries of Bridget Bardot, who just passed at age 91, and they mentioned how many times she had been
arrested.
Fined. Speaking against the Islamicization of France. Mm-hmm. And in the obituaries, they said, and she was right.
Yes.
And the problem is with the Islamists, not with the average Muslim, but with the Islamist, the expression is first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. So it is against Western civilization.
And it can be construed to a bigger picture as well and connect race with it, because some of the racial issues that we have had, say, even here in Craven County, in our school system, when we had cultural differences, they said, well, it's our culture, especially when it happened with behavior. So if you look at a behavior, and it was the talking back issue was what was being talked about at the time. Well, that's our culture. That's how we talk. That's what we do. It's okay for us because it's our culture. Well, then take it to Sharia, where it's their culture for honor killings and genital mutilation. It's a bigger picture.
And it's also the fact that some of these cultural differences are unacceptable. They are just not going to work.
Well, in a court of law, in a place like Dearborn, Michigan, if there is an honor killing and it's their culture and you have people on the jury who are Sharia compliant, are you going to get a guilty plea? Or
I don't know if you remember, but Obama tried to institute a new racial category in our census for Muslims.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And what was it? What was it?
It didn't happen. But that was one of his ideas, so that you would be anti-government if you said anything against a Muslim.
And, you know, you mentioned a few minutes ago, I think you mentioned that, Mary, about not all Muslims are Islamists, okay, mm-hmm. and that are probably true. Recent surveys show that most of the, for example, Muslims, say in Egypt, 87% of them support the Sharia law. So it's not like the Sharia law supporters are a minority of the Muslim population. I think it's quite the opposite. The data shows that they are in the majority. They believe that in Sharia law, and as you pointed out, Kim, there's a lot of those things that are anti-Western civilization. If we want to preserve our civilization, you can't dilute it by letting in all these people who don't have your beliefs. Let them stay where they are. They don't have to come here.
Well, I would point out to Mary, what's the difference between a Islam Muslim and an Islamist? And the difference is not what they believe in. The difference is whether or not they're active.
Yeah.
So
how many European countries have been forced to cancel their Christmas markets and their New Year celebrations because they are losing their culture to Islam?
Yeah. I think it's interesting if we go and focus on Minnesota for just a minute or two and look at what's happened with the Somalians up there and the way that the government has been ripped off by the Somalians with a lot of American help. But they've ripped off the government with these false child care centers and just how many billions of dollars have been taken. And they're not trying to act illegal. They're trying to act the way that they've grown up, that you survive by stealing.
And 87% of the Somalis in Minnesota are on welfare.
Yeah.
And that's against the law. If you come here and you can't support yourself, you need to go home.
Agreed.
That's 100%. Right.
And the thing about, let's get back to this business about masks. That's what we're calling these hijabs, right? Where they cover their hijab.
That's Southern for hijab.
Okay.
Hijab.
Whatever we call them. There used to be a law in North Carolina, and I guess it's been changed. You were not allowed to wear a mask in public. The reason being is that criminals were using that to mask their identity. Now I think we've gotten, I know we've gotten away from that. But anybody that's running for political office that's walking around with a mask on,
COVID
that should not be allowed.
COVID changed
because
that.
Because that, again, is reflecting a culture that's not us. They want to wear a mask, let them go back to where they came from. That's how I feel about
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm going to bring
up. I think she came from Durham.
I'm going to bring up. I'm going to bring up a crazy one, which I'm going to put on the regulations hat. Now, in the first administration, Trump wanted to get rid of three government regulations before instilling another regulation. I think it's up to at least 10-1
right,
now.
Right, 10-1 now.
Which is great to see these regulations. And again, regulations are done by NGOs, or
what?
Well, by civil servants, they're not done by elected folks. The regulations
are done by federal agencies.
Well, the federal agencies,
the NGOs lobby.
It's a level away from our ability to vote them in or out.
Right. You know, it's a deep state.
The deep state. So I think what we need to do is get up to maybe 50-1 instead on getting rid of regulations.
Well, you know, he started so many dogs in this dog race. I don't know how they keep track of all of them, but they seem to be making progress on all fronts, and I say yahoo.
He is playing at least three-dimensional chess, maybe four-dimensional chess.
And that said, I'm worried about the midterms. I don't know about you guys, but it sure seems like the media has again started to go full force anti-Trump and try to pull everything negative.
Well, they always do that. Now, this latest scam is this affordability issue.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This latest thing is this affordability thing. And when you look at it, there really is very little support for it. Now, a lot of the affordability are issues that came out of the Biden administration, increased inflation on all kinds of items that people used to. There's also some cultural issues going on. I heard the other day, it's like, I think it was like 50% or 45% of young men in their 20s are still living at home. There's things going on in our culture where men are not stepping up to be independent earners of money for themselves and their families.
They've been sissified.
And I think a lot of that needs to be changed by going back to more traditional standards and values.
I think
values.
They've been DEI'd.
Yeah, well, could be.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a deal where they start to fire and then they act like they're the firemen to come and put it out with this recent affordability thing.
Yeah.
They definitely started that fire.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And here again, we can take the affordability back to the illegals again, because
yes.
If you look at the cost of housing, which is one of the things that's affordability, it's because the demand exceeds what's available, and
yes.
That means the prices are high. So I think we have to address it every area.
I think explaining the law of supply and demand to a Democrat is a losing battle.
On that one, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening. Pat, you wanted to bring up something?
My turn.
Your turn.
My turn. Oh, by the way, Fannie Willis update. She crashed her Senate testimony. She crashed it. Not good. Not good. Okay.
That's one.
No. No, I'm teasing. That was an extra.
Okay.
That was a bonus. No. I have two issues that I think were the most important things that happened in 2025. First one is tariffs. I think Trump did a wonderful thing with telling the world, we have the biggest economy, we drive your economies, and you're going to make sure we have a more fair trading table. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Supreme Court does with it, because they're deciding whether or not the president can set tariffs or if it has to be Congress. And if it has to be Congress, we have 500 and some people arguing over what a tariff is.
Yeah.
Then that's going to be basically no tariffs.
Yeah.
My second issue is I am glad to see that Trump has instituted a push against transgender rights. And because it's a national security issue, we had him in the military. He's getting him out of there. It's a national crime issue. Look at all the murders that have been committed by transgenders, including Charlie Kirk's. That guy was, you know, in a homosexual relationship with a furry, for God's sake. And then the issue of men competing in women's sports. And I see that as a violation of Title IX that was set up specifically to create opportunities for women to play sports. And this transgender nonsense is robbing women of scholarships, recruiting positions, and basic fairness.
And you know, along with that, Pat, when you look at, again, that, not to deal with sports itself, but again, if we have somebody that is confined in a penal facility, which facility do we put them in? We get totally wrapped around the axle trying to figure out, are you a
penile institution?
Penile institution.
Well, maybe we should discuss that.
Well, they put these transgender women in women's prisons, and they rape the women.
Yeah,
I mean
pregnancies. Yes.
Yeah, that's a no go. He should have been in a male prison. Duh.
Well, and the thing is, there was an example just the other day in Seattle. I don't know whether you heard about it. There was this woman, in her 70s, late 70s. She's walking down the street. She stops at an intersection. This guy comes up. This big hulking guy comes up and smashes her in the head with this weapon that he had made specifically for the purpose of assaulting somebody. It was a club with nails or something in it. Knocked her eye out, broke part of her skull, and he had a history of several arrests for assault and so on. And he came in and claimed, well, I'm transgender, and he wanted to go exactly like you said. He wanted to go to the female ward, this... And it's just how these people are in Seattle. Why Seattle? Seattle is, again, one of these leftist places where criminals think they can get away with anything. And they are, I guess.
Think about the beginning of the transgender movement. First of all, that's a new name, a relatively new name. As few as 10 years ago, I'd say it was always called gender dysphoria, and it was considered a mental illness, and that people were confused. And we know from even people who have talked to Congress, like Chloe Cole, who are detransitioned, they said it was a mental illness themselves, and all that they needed to do was basically to grow up, and that it's a fantasy. And I think that when you try to normalize a mental illness, it leads to all kinds of trouble. And I think that these people are mentally ill because they don't know where they belong. And Pat, you talked about all the murders and the assassinations. I think these people are mentally ill in a state of massive confusion.
Well, they certainly are after they go on those puberty blockers and hormones.
There's an effort to try to make the genital transition or surgery and that kind of stuff done by illegal in this country. There are certain people want to see that happen. And like if you go to the UK, they do not allow, their health system does not pay for anybody being transitioned medically from one genital, so even in England. So.
Well, Trump's executive orders have stopped funds going to any hospitals that perform genital mutilations.
Agreed.
And don't think for one minute that this isn't in Craven County, because as few as 3 years ago, there were issues of the gender unicorn still being in public view in the schools, where the kids could look at a picture. And they gave all kinds of examples of a girl and a girl, a boy and a girl, a boy and a boy, and different, even different names for parts of their bodies. But it's everywhere. It's not just
And we should have restrictions
Seattle.
By age. For example, if you reach the age of, say, 21 and you want to change your gender, that's your business as far as I'm concerned. But if you're 14, 15, 10, whatever, all those ages, we do not allow those people to go get a driver's license.
Right.
Why can't we put a limit on these kinds of altering things that we know, like you say.
It has to be self-pay.
On basis of mental illness.
Not on the tax dollar.
Right, has to be self-pay.
Well, not even self-pay. I don't think it should be permitted at all.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, age 21, okay, you have the right to do it, but not on my dime.
Not on Medicaid. Well,
and if you take the government money away from those processes, they'll die.
From the hospital.
They'll just die. I'm just saying you don't say you can't. You just make the system unsupporting of it to where it's impractical.
Which is crazy, because if you think of it in terms of pure surgery, insurance doesn't cover cosmetic surgery. If you want a breast augmentation, insurance doesn't pay for it unless it's reconstruction after a mastectomy. But if I just go in and say, hey, I want bigger tatas, they're not going to do it. But yet you can take a 12-year-old and cut off those tatas.
Well,
and the thing is parents have to give their approval. I have to give the approval.
In most states.
That should be stopped. That should be stopped.
In most states, like there's
some
that doesn't.
No parent should be able to authorize it.
I don't know.
Like California?
And you can do that. A parent can't authorize someone to go get a driver's license. So why should they authorize somebody to get their genitals mutilated?
I saw a meme yesterday, and it was a video, and it was a soldier running down the D-Day beach. And he was saying, come on, boys, we need to fight for the right in 2025 to chop their dick off.
And on that note.
What else do we have?
I think we need to change the subject.
That's a hard one to top that one.
Now, I'm going to bring up a different one. Border security. Closing that border down. How many years was it predicted that it would take to close the border down?
25, wasn't it?
Well, the Democrats said they needed more legislation.
Yeah. More legislation. Yeah.
Which would have included amnesty, by the way. The one that was proposed included amnesty.
Pay no attention to those that are already gotten in. Yeah.
And we've already been snookered on amnesty once. They did that to Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
So we've already been burned once.
I think shutting down the border was huge, and Trump made it look pretty easy. And So I'm thankful for that. And now we're trying to eradicate the, at least the highest level of bad people from that process. And they're scooping up others, and that's fine, too.
And
so I think that whole process has been a big thing this year.
And it's horrible what how the general population in some of those areas are treating the ICE officials.
I think it's sad when a person who has been here, say, for 30 or 40 years and behaved themselves has been deported. But on the other hand, they've had 30 or 40 years to make it right, and they haven't. So, I mean, it's sad and it's unfortunate, but the fact remains that they came here illegally.
Well, if you committed a crime 30 years ago and we just haven't found you yet, doesn't mean that we shouldn't punish
you. The crime doesn't go away.
Yeah, the crime doesn't go away.
Deportation is not a death sentence. Deportation is a change of address.
That's true.
It doesn't mean grandma's going to go back home and we're never, ever going to see her again. If I am a citizen and grandma goes home, what's keeping me as a citizen to go visit grandma?
Or what's keeping you from helping grandma become a citizen after she goes back home?
Or move there and live with grandma.
And one of my pet peeves is every time we deploy an American soldier, we are deporting him from his family. And you don't hear people saying, well, I don't get to see my so-and-so for 3 years because they're in Japan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just saying I'm sick and tired of the special names and special accommodations being made to people who have broke our law.
To your point, name the way that the actions are done in other countries. What happens if you go into another country illegally?
You go to jail.
You probably go to jail.
You go to the gulag, ask Brittany Griner.
So let's try to sort of normalize this process.
Well, it just kills me, the hypocrisy of the media, because and the libs, because Obama is the biggest deporter, 3 million. He deported 3 million. Trump's only deported 670,000 if you take away the ones that have self-deported. So where were they, you know, raising hell about ICE back during Obama? No, they weren't.
Let's bring up another issue, oil independence. Now, the only thing that I'm concerned about is I know as we're getting back to oil independence, and it takes a little while to bring you up to speed, we have not started back that pipeline yet. Remember all the pipeline workers you have to learn to code?
Keystone.
That requires both parties to be willing to go there. And I think when we shut it down, I got to believe if that was practical to do, that would be something we'd move on. But I think they.
But
they,
Canada was on the other end.
Right.
And so, I don't know if they're willing to cooperate with Trump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and a related issue that I think, again, as we're moving from 2025, 2026, one thing that this country needs to do, we need to increase our electricity generating capacity. We are not keeping pace with what's going to be needed. And AI is coming along. It demands a tremendous amount of electrical power. What's going to happen? We're going to have the rates for electricity go up and up and up if we don't increase capacity. For example, there hadn't been a nuclear plant built in North Carolina in 40 years.
Yeah. Well, to me, that can be fixed by the people that's developing a manufacturing site. They build their own power source. That happens in industries right now. Chemical plants have their own power source.
But you have to acquire it. Otherwise, they're going to feed off the grid.
Yeah, I'm just saying you make it other impractical for them to do. Pulp and paper, chemical plants, all these significant long-term industries have their own power generation.
Yeah, it's like Tidewater, our local electric company. They're going to increase your rate if you use the electricity
exactly.
in the evening. Yeah. They're trying to do that because they're trying to stay within a limited capacity.
The other side is the cogen. They can feed it back, and it can actually not only fill their own, but it can help the grid on top.
One of the ironies that the temporary salvation has been transitioning to these LED lights that saved a tremendous amount of power.
And our bills have never gone down.
No, they're never going to.
And the cost of those light bulbs are $5 a piece.
Okay, folks, on that, we're going to end the review of the year. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.